Let's turn to the book of Nahum. Started with the first part of this sermon. This morning, 2 points that we gave. Nahum chapter 1, page 1431 in your super giant print. You can barely see King James Bible. Nahum 1 and verse 1, the burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And the title of this morning's message and tonight, The Dust of his feet. Father, I thank you for the scripture. It's such a comfort. I thank you, Lord, to know just how big you are, that the very clouds that we stand in awe at are just dust at your feet. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight to just see how you work in our lives. And Lord, how there are storms, there are trials, there are clouds, but Lord, you're always there. And you're always there with a promise. And Lord, you're in control. Please help us to see it tonight and to grow to be what we need to be in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we talked about this, the dust of his feet, and talked about how that the Bible says the clouds are the very dust of his feet. And whenever there's dust, that means there's activity. That means something's going on. Whenever clouds come, that means God's busy. God's got something going on. Perhaps you prayed and you said, Lord, I need you to do something. And all of a sudden you see storm clouds rolling up and you say, oh, well, wait a minute now. That's not what I was at. Aren't you asking God to do something? Amen. And we learned this morning, first of all, number one, we learned that the ring, that shows us God's presence. God's there, you just can't always see him. Amen. In the midst of storms, in the midst of the clouds, God's there, you just can't necessarily always see him. But he is there, he's hidden. There's a lot of things we don't understand in life, a lot of things in trials especially. But listen to me, if those clouds are billowing up, that means that God is busy. That means that he's stirring up the dust at his feet, and he is busy, he is active, something is going to happen. But he's covered by those clouds. His covering speaks of God's presence. And obviously we learned, and know this to be true, talked about it recently, the idea that God's covered, we can't always see him, but we have to trust him by faith. And God has chosen to cover himself over and over in the scriptures, over and over. He's chosen for us to trust him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so we trust him by faith. So number one, we learned his covering, and that represents God's presence. We learned also about the clouds that it speaks of his covenant. Not only his covering, but number two, his covenant, and that is God's promise. And we went to the book of Genesis and found a rainbow in every cloud. Every cloud that has ever existed, there's always a rainbow there. Now again, you can't always see it, but within every cloud, his promise is there. Within every trial, within every storm, no matter how big the whirlwind, no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how hard the lightning crashes and the thunder rolls, listen to me, God has a promise in that storm, in those clouds for you. His covenant, his promise. And clouds often come, and you sit here tonight and you say, oh, I've got some dark clouds in my life. And listen to me, do not fear those clouds, because within those clouds is the rainbow. That's God's promise to us. That's God's covenant with us, and God has made many, many promises to us. So tonight we're going to look at three more things that we see in reference to the clouds. And the third thing I want to show you tonight is his control. That speaks of God's purpose, his control. Number one is his covering, that's God's presence. Number two is his covenant, that is God's promise. Number three, his control, that is God's purpose. I think about these huge billowy clouds, and we talked about many kinds of clouds and storm clouds, and when you're flying and you see those clouds, and you know when you're flying and you see clouds that are actually higher than you? I mean, that's an awesome sight to see. And just those towering clouds, and all of that is God has a purpose. And when there are clouds, I just think in my mind, I think if God is working and he's stirring up the dust, and that's why all those clouds are there. And God's busy and he's stirring up the dust. And so there are clouds. And what looks like a storm to me is simply God doing a work and preparing to do a work. And God may be coming at my request. God may be coming to answer my prayer. God coming to meet my need. God coming to provide me with a blessing. It is God stirring up the dust, which that's what the clouds are to him. And I look and say, whoa, this is a big storm. And God says, no, I have a purpose. I have something that I am getting ready to do. You know, we think the mountains are great. My Bible says God weighs the mountains with scales. You know, like you go to the produce market and you weigh out, what do you weigh out? Let's do, what are we doing? Bananas. What'd you say? Grapes? All right, we can do grapes. God takes the Rockies and he says, well, here's a bunch. And he weighs them on scales. You know, oh, you say, I've got this mountain of a problem. God says, let me put it on my scale and just see how heavy it is. Well, you know, I mean, God, you understand, nothing is great compared to God. Nothing. It doesn't matter what it is. God weighs the mountains with scales like produce. We look at the great empires and look back and study the empires and nations and how great and everything, and God calls them a drop in a bucket. That's to God, the great Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar as the king, the head of gold. And God says, well, this is a great empire and has told us that in the book of Daniel. And yet God says, that's just a drop in the bucket. It's nothing. Nothing. I mean, the United States of America, the greatest nation in the world. But God says, just a drop in the bucket to me. Look what he says about great strongholds, Nahum chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3. Here's what he says about great strongholds. Verse 12. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Yeah, you say, oh, I got some problems. God says, let me just shake it a little bit. Let me shake up your stronghold. Let me get a hold of that stronghold. And again, you say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And these clouds start rolling in. You say, I'm in trouble. And God said, no, that's me. I'm coming. I'm going to shake your stronghold up. Look what he says here in verse 17, back to Nahum 3 again. Look what he says in verse 17 about a king. Thy crowned are as the locusts. He said, here's what I think of your kings. Here's how strong and how powerful I think the kings are and the leaders are and the big shots are. He says they're like locusts. Look what he says about the captains, verse 17. And thy captains as the great, well, I know this general, I know this great soldier, I know this guy, he did great things. God says, grasshoppers. Well, I know this king, I know this president, I know this leader. God says, locust. Boy, this mountain's huge. God says, let me put it in a little bag here and we'll weigh it and see how much it weighs on my scale. You say, boy, this nation's great. God says, drop, drop. Drop. But that's coming from one who looks at the clouds and he says, oh, there's the dust from my feet. I'm just saying God's in control. God's in control. He is in control of everything. Notice back to Nahum 1 and verse 3, and we used these two words earlier. We used them this morning, but the Lord hath his way. Now we use it in a different way. This time we're using it like God has his way. By the way, God does have his way. The only time God doesn't have his way is you and I, because he gives us a choice. Are you listening? God said to the whale, go swallow the preacher. And he does. God says to the rock, bring forth water. And it does. God says to a star, fall. God says to a star, shine over Bethlehem. And it does. God says to you and I, do this. And we say, well, I don't know. I don't know. God has his way. God is in control. He has his way. And it's all about his purpose. Understand, clouds have never stopped the sun. Oh, I know we think that sometimes, but they don't. It just moves on in spite of the cloud. Why? Because that's His way. That's His way, His purpose. It's all about His purpose. It's all about Him having control and fulfilling His purpose. Let me show you something under this about that. First of all, do you know that He often draws us closer to Him with clouds? Sure He does. Often we draw closer because we become afraid. Do you understand that so many times we think we've got things under control? I think about old Nebuchadnezzar. And, he had everything under control. He's a great king. And yet God put him in the backyard grazing in the field. I mean, you have to understand that God can do that with any king, any leader, any Christian. Because He might want you to say what Nebuchadnezzar did. You are God. Yeah. God draws us closer. Listen to me. The clouds are billowing and you say, I don't understand. Hey, maybe He just wants you to not understand so you draw closer to Him. Maybe He wants you to kind of wonder so you get closer so maybe you can ask God, what's going on? So you can find out. Draw us closer. You ever get away from God and all of a sudden some storms come up? You ever get away from God and all of a sudden trials come up and all of a sudden the clouds, the storm clouds are billowing around you? Have you ever stopped and thought God's coming to get you back? That's the way I look at it. Amen. Oh, these clouds, it's terrible. Oh no, it's God coming. He's got something for you to do. He's got a purpose for your life. It's a wonderful thing. Uh-huh. Draw us closer. You know, you say, oh, but this is a heavy load. I just can't bear it. It's just too much for me. This storm is too much. And what He wants you to understand is you can't on your own. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But on our own, we can do nothing. Sometimes He wants to put that thing on you where you say, God, help. That's what He's waiting on. Peter got out of the boat. Lord, save me. He walked a little ways. Lord, save me! Yeah, well, maybe that's what He wants you to say. I remember when we had a wood pile, we lived out in the country, out around the Amish, and we had a big old wood pile, and I still can remember David trying to load these great big chunks of wood, and I don't know why he couldn't just be satisfied grabbing the little ones and throwing them in the, we had a little door that went into where the fireplace was, and you could get it from the wood pile, but it was about this high, and Dave was only about so tall, and you know he'd get these giant logs and try to lift them up and throw them in there, and it was hilarious watching him, and he could have taken these little sticks and just thrown them, but no, he had to get these big logs, and pretty soon he'd come over and he'd try to get it up, and I mean I'd walk over there and it was just so simple to help him out. And he'd say, boy, we did a good job. Well, to be honest with you, we didn't do a whole lot of the job. I just pretty much did the job for him. But you know, a heavy load, you find out you can't do it on your own. And in the midst of a storm is a good time to find out you can't do this on your own. Besides that, why would you want to? Besides that, He doesn't want you to. Amen. He draws us close with the clouds. He draws us close with a storm. Bible says that to cast our care on Him, you know what? It doesn't matter how heavy the load is if you don't have to carry it. Did you get that? I liked it a whole lot better than you did. When I wrote it down, I thought, boy, that's good. People are going to like that. I like that. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter how heavy the load, I'm going to repeat it so you can be impressed, if you don't have to carry it. I mean, honestly, I think sometimes I wondered if Dave was not picking up those giant logs because he knew they had to get in there to get me moving. I'm telling you, those clouds, they're moving, they're billowing, they're the dust of His feet, and He's there, and He's trying to draw you close to Him. He's trying to show you how much you need Him. Isn't it a shame when we think we don't need God anymore? Isn't it a shame when we somehow feel like, hey, everything's okay and everything's fine and I don't need God and boy, look at the blue sky. And that's most of the time when the clouds start to come. You know, the best thing in the world would be just stay close to God, walk with God, abide in Christ, and spend time with God, and need God, and need God, and need God, and need God. Those clouds draw us closer to Him. What else about the clouds as far as His control? Well, He guides us with the clouds. Amen. He led His people with a pillar of a cloud. This huge cloud led His people. Led His people. Led them right to the Red Sea where they would be trapped. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Led them right there where they'd be trapped. Led them right to the Red Sea. The Red Sea's here. The Egyptians are here. They have nowhere to go. He led them right there. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's not a good thing. No, listen. God wants His way to become our way. That's all that was about. That's all it's usually about. Why is this storm in my life? Well, maybe God wants your way to become His way. God has a purpose for our life. God has something for us, and He wants it for us, and it's the best thing for us. And sometimes He's got to send a storm to guide us. He's got to send a cloud. He led the people right to the Red Sea. You know, God gives us a choice. Now, isn't it amazing how He led them to the Red Sea and He gave them a choice? Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, if we go this way, the Egyptians will kill us. And if we go that way, we're going to drown. Well, that's what they thought. But I got news for you. When He led them to the Red Sea, they had absolutely no idea He was going to part that thing. They had no idea. Can you imagine the talk? Can you imagine after the service? Huh? What is He doing? What is He doing? We're all going to die out here. Do you know that? What is wrong with Him? We're going to die. Can you imagine? Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? But He led them. And they had no idea. But you know what? He had a way. He had a purpose. What was that? To part the Red Sea. You ever think about if nobody would have gone? If they'd all said, nah, we're not going to go. We're not going to do it. No way. It ain't happening. Moses said, you're right, folks. Let's go make us a calf. Aaron made the calf, and they all went and worshiped the calf. And the sea would have never got parted. God wanted to part the sea. Are you listening? God was excited about parting the sea. He knew what He was going to do. They didn't know what He was going to do. But He led them to a place where they could choose by faith. You know, how many of us have missed out on the Red Sea parting? Because we got a severe thunderstorm warning and we said, I'm going to hide instead of pressing on. We got under a tornado watch and we said, oh no, I'm going to take cover instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? Because we saw the clouds, and instead of understanding that the clouds show us God's control, we feared the clouds. We ran from the clouds. You see, it was God's will, it was God's way to part the Red Sea. Nobody could understand that. Nobody could have guessed that. Nobody could have figured that out. But there was no choice. The Egyptians are here. The Red Sea's here. God says, go forward. And boom, the waters part. And the people say, what happened? Amen. That's awesome to think. And the Bible says they went over on dry ground. It's just an amazing thing. I still, and I tell the story often because I don't want to forget. But I remember in the back of that bus coaching that basketball team, I was 19 years old. And I was in charge of all these teenagers, and they said, let's have devotions. And I had no idea what devotions were. I thought it was a little snack cracker. I didn't know. Let's have devotions. Bob Brenneman, who is now a pastor, looks over at me, and he could tell I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I said, what are they talking about? He said, just open the Bible and read a verse and explain it. I thought, I ought to be able to do that. And I didn't have a clue. And I'll never forget the clouds were rolling in. Because I loved working with those kids. Are you listening? I loved being their coach, and I loved spending time with them. And I loved, every one of those boys was more spiritual than I was. I had no clue. And I opened up the Bible and looked at a verse, and I read it. I couldn't explain it, and tears started to come, and the clouds were boiling up around me, and like a tornado was going to suck me in. And I said, fellas, I can't help you. I can't. And I knew that the pastor was going to tell me I couldn't coach anymore, and I knew the pastor would say, you can't be over our kids anymore. And so I said, guys, let's just pray. And I knew that my service for God was over because the clouds were rolling in on me. But you know, in the middle of those clouds, God said, I'm in control of this thing. He said, what you think is the end is actually the beginning because I want you to preach. And God called me to preach that day in the back of that bus in the middle of that thunderstorm of clouds all around me. And I realized how my life was in His hands. Now you listen to me. Do not think that the clouds, it's all over. It might just be beginning. Because God guides us with His clouds. We're in a cloudy economy right now, but God has something planned. Maybe you have a cloudy health situation. God's in control. Maybe you have a cloudy situation. It just doesn't look good, and maybe it looks impossible. That's exactly where God likes to show you who He is and that He is in control. He draws us closer with clouds. He guides with clouds. You know, another part of His guidance is chastening. That's guidance. Isn't that what it is with your kids? Isn't that why we chasten? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. I mean, it's guidance. It's teaching. It's trying to show us what we're doing wrong. And God uses clouds often to guide us in chastening. In Nahum 1 here, our text, it says, God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. Notice what it says, the mountains quake at Him. The hills melt. The earth is burned in His presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. But look at verse 6. Who can stand before His indignation? Who in the world do we think we are? The clouds are the dust of His feet, and we say no to God? The clouds are the dust of His feet, and we dare go against His holy word with our life? Who can stand before His indignation? Is it a teenager who says, I'll listen to my rock music anyway? Is it an adult here that'll say, I'm going to look at my pornography anyway? I'm going to think my thoughts anyway. I'm going to enter into this relationship anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Who can stand before His indignation? And the clouds start to come up. And you're headed for trouble. Verse 9, what do ye imagine against the Lord? It's talking about the Lord who the clouds are the dust of His feet, and we would dare imagine anything against Him. We would dare say, God, you're not fair. We would dare say, God, who do you think you are doing this? Who do we think we are? That giant, huge storm cloud that you've looked at, and it's just a speck of dust to God Almighty. And we somehow think we can challenge Him? What are we imagining? Seriously, what are we imagining? What are you imagining, you that lie? What are you imagining, you that rebel against His authority? What are you imagining? How can these thoughts ever even come to your mind that you would dare to challenge God Almighty? Let me show you somebody who did. Numbers 12, verse 5. Numbers 12 and verse 5. The Bible says, the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud. There it is. And He stood in the door of the tabernacle. He called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." They had challenged God's man. They had challenged Moses. "My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all mine house," God said. "With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, as the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" You know, it amazes me how many people are, it just doesn't even faze them to speak against the man of God. To speak against God. It's amazing. It's like we just, what are we imagining? God says, "Here am I." And we say, "Well, who do you think you are, God?" God says, "Here's my man." And we say, "Well, who do you think you are, God's man?" God says, verse 9, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." And God did that, and it doesn't even say that he did that. It wasn't even a hard action for God. In fact, perhaps God simply thought it. And in the brief moment of thought, she became leprous. And we dare shake a fist at God and challenge God, who is in control. He is in control. You know, next time you get on your chat room and carry on some of these ungodly chats, maybe you ought to wonder about whose fist you're shaking and who you're shaking it at. You know, maybe next time, a young person, you want to smart off to your parents and challenge the authority that God put over you, maybe you ought to understand who you are challenging. And again, I ask, as Nahum asks, he said, "What are we thinking? If the clouds are the dust of his feet, who am I? If a king is a locust and a captain is a grasshopper, who am I? If a nation is a drop in a bucket, who am I? If a mountain is weighed like grapes on a scale, who am I?" And I'll tell you what, sometimes God sends his clouds of wrath and judgment and destruction because he's working and the clouds come. How foolish for us to challenge his way. But that's how he gets his way. Do you understand? Do you understand when God in his wrath comes down against the Antichrist, it's not even a battle? It isn't even a battle. And by then, who knows what kind of weaponry man will have, and everything will be pointed at God, and it isn't even a battle. He speaks. The Bible says we're with him. We're on horses. He doesn't need us. We're not going to do anything. Just watch. Who do we think we are? His control. He is in control. Do not think for 1 minute he's not in control. Do not think for 1 minute because you're doing your own thing, God's not in control. Do not dare to think, "Hey, I'm getting away with a lot." Some of you teenagers think you are getting away with some stuff. You are not getting away. Hey, listen, whether preacher knows, whether mom and dad knows, our God knows, and he is going to deal with it, and pretty soon the clouds are going to roll up. And I got news for you. You'll have a choice. You'll have a choice. You always have a choice. You always have a choice. How foolish. How foolish for us to challenge our God. He's in control. But you know, he does all that with clouds, but his control also means he protects us with clouds. Because, you know, that pillar of cloud for the children of Israel, it was leading them, and it led them to the Red Sea. But you know what it did then? And I love the story. It went behind them. Isn't that something? Now, I know, you know, there are a few backsliders that said, "Oh, where's God? I don't see the cloud anymore." You know, they forgot just because God was behind him, he's still there. It's okay. I love it. And it went behind him. You ever think about why that cloud went behind him? Well, I think one reason it went behind him is so they'd look back. You know what you need to do? You and I need to look back sometimes at what God's done. Oh, what are we going to do? Here's this big sea here. Well, didn't God just plague the whole land with frogs? Didn't he do that? Didn't God just bring flies into the Egyptians' lives and locusts? Didn't he just rain hail from heaven and fire? Didn't God just make everything dark, so dark you could feel the dark in Egypt, but in Goshen there was light? Didn't God just do, God, hey, look back! Look what I've done. I think he also, he went back there though, most of all, because he told them to go forward by faith. Now go on forward. Go on forward by faith. And he parted the Red Sea and said, go forward. Now I'll be honest with you. You know, the Red Sea being parted, we all look at that and say, wow, what a bet that was really, some teenagers say, cool. Well, it still would have been kind of interesting. We're not talking about jumping over a creek. Amen. We're talking about the Red Sea, and it is dry ground. And over on this side is a wall of water, and over on this side is a wall of water. And in between, it's dry, and it's a huge path through there, but it's a wall of water. You say, oh, I'd have been so excited about that. Why aren't you excited about going forward for God now? I'm telling you, it took faith. It really took faith. I often wonder if maybe a fish over on this side might have tried to make the jump across over to that side. That is pretty funny. Kayla, I'm glad you came. But you know, the cloud hid the enemy, right? They knew the enemy was there, but they couldn't see the enemy. You know, so many times one trial is blocking, the clouds of one trial is blocking a bigger trial. Amen. So you quit, you don't worry about that. But I always think about this too. The enemy couldn't see them. Oh, the cloud, it's scared. Why don't you trust God? I've often thought, while I'm in the midst of a storm, the devil probably isn't paying a whole lot of attention to me. He might be. But I know where the clouds come from. They're the dust of God's feet. Have you ever thought your trial might be a bigger trial for the enemy than it is for you? His way, his control, he's moving in your life. He's stirring up dust in your life. He's stirring up clouds. And do not look at it like this is going to hurt me. Do not look at it that this is something that's going to ruin me. Look at it that God has a purpose. God has a reason. It is his way, his control. Number one, we see his covering. That's God's presence. Number two, we see his covenant. That is God's promise. Number three, we see his control. That is God's purpose. Number four, we see his comfort. That is God's provision. It says in verse 3, the clouds are the dust of his feet. What child fears his father's feet? The wind is his breath, the thunder is his voice, the lightning perhaps is the flash of his sword as he goes to battle for us. The storm clouds are the dust of his feet. When I was little, I used to be scared to death of storms. And I still can remember vividly hoping my dad would wake up. Because as soon as I heard the sound of his feet walking through the hallway, I could rest, go to sleep. Why? Because everything was all right then. I'm going to tell you something. You know, the storm, the clouds, they're the dust of his feet. Of his feet. Huh? Those who have no clouds know nothing of God's comfort and God's peace. They know nothing of how precious are the feet of our Father. Elijah was in called for the great drought, and you know the story, and he made Ahab really mad, but he made Jezebel madder. I love Elijah. I really do. Elijah was an independent, fundamental, radical nut Baptist preacher. No question about it. And he had Jezebel so upset. And he had Ahab upset. And there's this drought, and he goes to Mount Carmel, and he calls down fire from heaven. Before the fire burn up his offering and sacrifice, they tried to get their gods to bring fire down. Nothing happened. And Elijah, just being a typical independent Baptist, calls for 12 barrels of water in the middle of a drought to pour it on his sacrifice, just to prove that fire from heaven's real fire. Nothing fake about this thing. You know the story? Well, finally, you know, then all the false prophets are killed. I like what they did back in those days. Anyway, but he says to Ahab, he says, Ahab, get your umbrella, son. It's going to rain. I love it. He's there on Mount Carmel and he prays. And he begs God, God, send rain. Been a drought, God. You know there's been a drought. We need rain. He says to the servant, the assistant pastor, he says, Tim, he says, go check, see if it's going to rain. Tim runs out to the edge of the cliff, looks out at the sea. Nothing. He goes back. Preacher prays again. Seven times. Tim, go look. Anything happening? Tim goes out to the cliff and looks. Nothing's happening. Prays again. Seven times. You know what the Bible says? And I love this because I can see it. The Bible says, a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And the assistant saw that thing coming up, that cloud out of the sea. I wonder whose hand that was. And here comes God. And the man of God says, it is gonna rain. Just a little teeny old cloud coming up out of the sea. And what's he see? It's God coming. And he's stirring up the dust. Something's about to happen. Why are you so afraid of the clouds? Why are you so afraid of the news? Why are you so afraid of what's happening? Do you understand God's doing something? Do you understand God might be just doing something? Huh? I mean, and he saw the cloud like a man's hand coming up out of the sea. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. You know, blue sky, no rain. If he'd have prayed two times, wouldn't have been any rain. If he'd have prayed six times, wouldn't have been any rain. But there was a great rain, and it was a great comfort. You know, you ever pray for comfort, but think you've got it figured out how it has to come? Do you ever think maybe God has a better plan? I'll be honest, I wouldn't have figured out all that he did with Ahab and Jezebel. I don't know how I wouldn't have done it necessarily that way. I wouldn't have figured all that out. I don't know if I'd have figured it out to have the man of God go to Mount Carmel and challenge the 850 false prophets. I don't know if I'd have figured that out. You know, to have a man of God do that and to go against him and pray down fire, put 12 barrels of water in the middle of a drought, make everybody mad at him. I mean, we're supposed to want everybody to like us. Right? I don't think I'd have figured that out. And certainly I wouldn't have figured out all that took place there and they all had to be killed. And Jezebel really got mad. But that cloud came, and with that cloud came the rain. With that cloud came assurance of that to that preacher, hey, you know, God still hears me. God still hears me. Never fear the dust of your father's feet. You know what we ought to do instead of fearing the dust of our father's feet? Is we need to fall at those feet and worship as Mary did. When Martha was cumbered with much serving, Mary fell at his feet. And Jesus said, she's chosen the good part. Just fall at his feet. The clouds are here. The storm clouds rage all around. You say, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you the best thing. Fall at the feet. He's there. The feet are there. Fall at his feet. Oh, God. Oh, God, I need your comfort. I need your peace. I need to know that everything's okay. You know, God has a way of letting us know that everything's okay. He's there. Number one, I said the clouds speak of his covering. That's God's presence. Number two, I said they speak of his covenant. That is God's promise. Number three, I said they speak of his control. That is God's purpose. Number four, I said they speak of his comfort. That is God's provision. And then number five, they speak of his coming. That is God's power. He is coming. Remember how this morning I talked about everything's hidden? One of these days it isn't going to be hidden. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, I think there ought to be an offer of $1 for a kick to give the devil a swift kick. I'd pay the dollar, amen. I'm serious about that. I mean, maybe to be able to put the Antichrist in a headlock and toss him in the fire. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, seriously. Because I got news for you. The clouds speak of his power. He's coming. Matthew 24, 30, real quick. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. It says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven." Notice, "with power and great glory." Chapter 26, verse 64. Chapter 26 and verse 64. Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And my friend, he's not coming as a little babe in a manger. And he's not coming as the Lamb of God to die. He did that once. He's coming in power. Oh, he's coming in power. Now the first coming is 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's what we're waiting on. I like the way it reads here because it really fits in my message. I'm sorry, I fit my message around it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. It says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Has it ever struck you that maybe there will be some clouds when the rapture takes place? Has it ever occurred to you that maybe there's going to be some storms raging when the rapture takes place? Have you ever read about the tribulation? Have you ever read what all is going to happen in the tribulation? Have you read how the Antichrist seizes control immediately in the tribulation? Have you ever read how that there will be all kinds of terrible things happen in those 7 years of tribulation? Wouldn't it only make sense that there would be storm clouds when the rapture takes place? Wouldn't it only make sense that the dust... See, here's what I think, Larry. I think that the clouds that we see and what is forming all around us, it looks like a storm. And all the legislation and all the leaders and all the wacky thinking that is going on in our world today. I think the clouds are building, but we're going to be caught up with him in clouds. So I'll tell you, folks, don't fear the clouds. Don't be afraid of those clouds. And you know, the clouds of the tribulation are the worst clouds the world has ever seen. 7 years tribulation. It'll be the worst thing this world has ever known. It'll be the worst tribulation mankind has ever imagined. I mean, you talk about wars. You talk about the Holocaust. You talk about unbelievable atrocities that man has done. I think about just the war on little babies that's taken place in America alone, slaughtering infants. It's nothing compared to the tribulation. Read it in your Bible. But Jesus will come. He will come with clouds. Revelation 1, verse 7. "And then things will be different." Revelation 1 and verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Do you see that? "Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Oh, he's coming. He's coming. Coming first with a rapture to take us away, Christians, save people. And then there will be 7 years tribulation, but he will come again and he will be King of Kings. And it will be a battle like no battle has ever been fought, because it will be over when he speaks. But he's coming. I remember when I was real little, we would always spend the week at Grandma and Grandpa's. And Grandma and Grandpa lived on a dirt road that was just a one-lane dirt road. And it was, especially when I was little, it was, I mean, that was all it ever hoped to be. It was just They were out in the middle of nowhere. They were the only house on the road. And so nobody ever came down that road. And it was kind of one of those neat things because Grandma and Grandpa, I mean, they were right in the middle of about a mile block. And their house was right in the middle. So anytime, I mean, if anybody came down that road, you could see them coming from all the way, either side. You saw the dust. And we would watch, and it was so fun because Grandma and Grandpa, that was what they did. I mean, they didn't have anything else to do when they weren't farming. They got older and they weren't farming. And Grandpa, we'd sit on the swing, an old porch swing. We'd sit out there and he'd get up and he'd peer out there. And he'd have to get up to the side of the porch and he'd look out. I could still see him bent over and he'd watch. And there'd be a puff of dust way down at the end of the road. And he'd be coming. He'd say, "Edney, who's that coming down the road?" I mean, that's what they did. That's what they did. If he was sitting in the living room, I mean, sure enough, he would every now and then he'd look back and there'd be a puff of dust at the other end of the road. And he'd be coming that way. And, "Edney, come over here. Who's coming down the road?" And that's what they did. Well, I remember we'd always spend a week there. And when I was little, when you first go to Grandma and Grandpa's, it's fun. When you first go to Grandma and Grandpa's, it's lots of food. Amen. Grandma, I mean, she could cook. Grandma looked like she could cook. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Grandma, when she made noodles, she rolled out the dough. We usually ate half the noodles as dough. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's got to be biblical. It has to be. But I mean, we'd snitch the noodles and roll them up and eat them, I mean, until we got sick. But I mean, we always, I always loved that first part of the week. It was just Grandma and Grandpa's. And they had chickens, they had some animals and things. That was always neat. But always the end of the week, on Friday, we'd go to town, and that was the big night. You go to town. And we'd go to town with Grandma and Grandpa, and that's the end of the week. And by now, I'm missing all my friends. By now, I'm missing home. By now, I'm missing my bed. By now, I'm Grandma and Grandpa, they were old-fashioned people, and they wouldn't let me get away with things like Mom and Dad did. So by now, I'm missing some of my freedom. By now, the farm was fun the first few nights, but now it's kind of lonesome. There's nothing to do. The chickens are boring now. Throwing rocks at them, that got old. And I still can remember so clearly, by Saturday, I remember being so homesick, I couldn't wait for Mom and Dad to come and get me. And I would get on the swing by the tree. Remember when they had swings on tree limbs? They had one. And I would sit on that swing, and for hours, I'd watch the road swinging on that swing. And I'd swing, and I'd look out. And I'd swing, and I'd look up. And I'd swing, and pretty soon, there'd be a puff of dust. Pretty soon that dust would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I'd see it's Mom and Dad. Yes! I got news for you, folks. I'm just, you know what? I'm on my swing and I'm watching the dust. And the clouds are getting bigger and bigger all around us. My Father's coming. I have nothing to worry about at all because He's coming. And the dustier, the cloudier, the more He's coming, the more He's working, the more His plan, because He's in control. He's in control. I hope you'll look at clouds from now on in a little different perspective. God's covering. He's there, though. His covenant, His promise is there. He's in control. His purpose is being done. His comfort is there. He's providing for us. He's coming. In power. Whether He comes to answer your prayer with His power, whether He comes to provide your need with His power, whether He comes to take us home in power, it's all right. And He's going to come in the clouds. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.